Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You all right, John?
Yes, good, thank you.
Yes, I haven't spoken for a while. You know, lots of things going on in the world. So, first and foremost, let's talk macro. You said, and I said, what should we talk about on the macro level? We've got five companies to look at, but macro level, you say there's a Chinese wobble. What
yes,
is that? It's a dance
it
move.
It feels like the Chinese economy is just wobbling around a little bit. The growth rates are maybe not so strong. Quite high unemployment rates amongst the 16 to 24 year olds. That's up at 20%. Mm-hmm. And the Chinese Communist Party, being the loving people that they are, basically told unemployed university graduates to roll up their sleeves and take up manual jobs. Yeah. In the words of Neil Kinnock, get on your bike.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that's it, isn't it? You know, in the Western world, we have, I don't know if I'm just is fact or opinion, but I suspect there aren't many, you know, graduates who not been able to get their job they want that they've studied for, will go and work in the supermarket. Well, I don't know if they will. Hopefully, that would be a work ethos behind them. Said, well, listen, I'm going to do some kind of job until I get the job I want, because any job is better than no job, isn't it? You pick up some experience, personnel skills, all that kind of stuff. So you know, you learn about a business somewhere. So any job is better than nothing, and you're more likely to get another job if you're in a job rather than just hanging around doing nothing, and it's good for the economy as well, you know.
Well, I just advise one of my young analysts to learn how to do some plumbing rather than having to wait around at home for the plumber to arrive. Yeah. You know, I would advise anyone in this world to have a manual skill to at least fall back on.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't advise that, because plumbing, you need a bit of training at, and what's happened there, it'll cost you twice as much. You'll make some damage, and you have to repair the damage, and you get a plumber in there and actually fix it again. So maybe learn about it. It's simple, yeah, but plumbing and...
I think there's quite a lot of plumbing jobs that one can do oneself.
Yeah, yeah, and gas.
Yes, I agree with you.
And gas refits electricity as well. Try that as well.
Maybe not.
Yeah. And all of a sudden you find that analysts didn't come back into work after that. His house exploded. Okay, so Chinese wobble. There's a lot of worry about. Do you know what I'm finding at the moment? I find the market a little bit boring. It's like it's not going anywhere. And I think this is going to happen for a while. I just think because, you know, with central banks, high interest rates, that's going to cost businesses a lot. Cost of capital is high. And until we get a definite trend on inflation coming down, and then the central banks looking like they peaked and bringing it down, I don't think the market's going to rally, because that cost of capital is still going to be there for a long time, you know?
It will be. Although I notice over the last few weeks, mortgage rates have been coming back a little bit. Look, the banks are you know, effectively fishing and trying to help people buy new properties, which is good, actually. So even though we expect UK interest rates to go up a bit more, the banks are actually being quite helpful on their rates, which is really nice to see.
Yeah. Well, they need that. We need to stimulate that side of it as well, because, you know, when, you know, people understand, house buyers are just pushing prices up, but you don't understand how much that stimulates the entire economy. If you look at all the offshoot industries that benefit from a new house being built, or people moving, you know, people buying stuff for the house, DIY, all that stuff, it's all, you know, it stimulates a lot of different sectors, doesn't it, you know?
It's a huge thing in the economy, and it's a big earner for the government, because they, you know, they make a lot on the stamp duty.
Yes, and the of course government. They always earn. Yes. HMRC never lose out ever. I'm going through inheritance and all that stuff, and they never ever lose out ever. You know, even when it comes to the stage where, like, do you know what? Already, my father and mother passed away a while back. The tax bills, and they charge them overdue fines on them. I keep calling them every month. They can't pay them. There's no money there. It's just, everything's locked into probate. Stop charging them. It's like they are passed away. The HMRC, they never go without, ever. You know, apart from when it comes to the royal family, we don't have to pay anything. But all they've done is inherit stuff. John, I'm up to my eyeballs in this. And the government annoying me, HMRC. Anyway, stop my stocks. Let's get back on the stocks before I blow my head off with anger. So let's talk about, first and foremost, I've got a bone to pick with you, because for a while you said you were quite confident the Rambler would be okay. It would come out the other side. This week, they've suspension on AIM. That people can't buy and sell the stock and stuff. What's gone wrong, John? I did say, be careful. They've got a lot of debt. There seems a lot of problems here. But do you think they were going to come out the other side okay? Is that it? Is that
Yes, it does look like the end of Rambler. There is an administration process going on in Canada. The company was protected from creditors as it was. And they were courting offers, and in fact, I believe they've had several offers to acquire the business. One of those offers, unfortunately, wasn't helpful to shareholders, which was a shame. But it was a big offer, I believe. And Toby Bradbury, who is a really good man and a very good mining engineer, was working really hard to try and get the best deal for investors, but he's been pushed out now, sadly, and I think pushed out and not even paid, from what I hear on the grapevine. So that's not good for poor old Toby. And meanwhile, there's a board of people trying to work out the best route for the company and for its creditors going forwards. It's really tough on investors, and I think if anyone's really looking for a reason as to why this went down, I mean, it's a combination of factors, but COVID wasn't kind to it. If you remember, we had lockdowns and they couldn't have many people working in the mine, so the production was slow and the costs were going up. Mm-hmm. You remember oil prices were high at the time. There's a whole bunch of things there. And then you had those guys from NuGen, run by William Lamb, who suddenly decided they wanted their money back. And of course, the company couldn't pay it. Then, of course, the fact that they asked for their money back meant that other people suddenly started demanding money. And then all the suppliers wanted to be paid up front. Now, if NuGen hadn't caused that trouble, I think the company would still be would be rolling along in a reasonable form. But when you've got $10, $20 million worth of working capital all being demanded up front, it's very hard for a company to find that sort of cash. And ultimately the last nail in the coffin was when Transamine, the trading partner, suddenly decided to withhold cash for metal that they'd just received. We thought that was in contempt of the Canadian court, but you know, unfortunately the company didn't have the cash to then fight them with it. So it's all collapsed, and I mean, I'm desperately sorry for shareholders because it's just very unfair.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, do you know what? The thing is, there are certain risks, aren't there? You know, and sometimes we can get carried away. I talked on a couple of webinars this week and saying, when people get obsessed with the stock and they think it's only going in one direction, that is in the direction of reward, they get almost a blind faith in it, and it closes their mind and they sort of, you know, overexpose. Never do that with any company. Never, because you never know what's going to happen. You know, there could be a left field event happen that can wipe you out. And the only protection you have against left field events is diversification a little bit. So if you put all your money in one stock, you get wiped out. You know, if you go to say a max, let's say, for example, you've got a £100,000 portfolio, just using that for rough figures because it's easier, and you put like 50 grand in one stock and it gets wiped out, you've lost half your wealth. You know, that's it, half your investment funds. If you put only 10% maximum in it, and you know, it gets wiped out, that's only a tenth. You know, it is a big hit still, but it's still a tenth. And so that's all the protection you have, isn't it, really, sometimes against left-field events. I'm not saying this is a left-field event because there was debt there. But, you know, that's your only protection, really, is how much money you put in. So never overexpose, because that gives you almost blind faith and you don't see the facts. You just...
Well, those are wise words. And yes, Rambler stock is suspended at the moment, but... I wonder if there's a grey market going on in the shares. It is possible that that there are people looking to buy stock in at the moment. I don't know who they are, or I don't know if they're buying in because they've got short positions they need to fill, or maybe if they're buying in because they think there might be an offer that might lead to some money for shareholders. So I simply don't know. But I do believe that there is some interest in the stock out there at the moment.
Yeah. And when you said a grey market, I thought you meant just, you know, a market for old people trading, you know?
No, a grey market is where it's not on a listed exchange.
Okay, all right. So it's very interesting you say that, John. It suggests to me that maybe you think there is one, you know, rather than, you know there's one. Who knows? But, you know, there we are. Okay, let's look at next one. Atlantic Lithium. All is ticker there. What's happening, John?
They're very busy drilling the project in Ghana. Mm-hmm. Of course, lithium, I mean, if you remember, the share price got absolutely hammered by these short sellers out of the US who claimed to be having a go at Piedmont, the American lithium refinery company, which has a deal with Atlantic. Atlantic shares collapsed, or they pretty much halved. Then we saw the directors of Atlantic Lithium buying a lot of stock. The chairman, the acting CEO, the COO or the FD, all buying off stock. And actually the share price has picked up a bit since. I noticed there's definitely a two-way market going on in there at the moment. But I do see a lot of value in Atlantic at the moment. I think, they've got to work through a process to get their mining license in Ghana, but it's a good place to be.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's look at the shares there. I haven't really looked at them since Atlantic Lithium. Well, they have sort of bounced from that big dip down. I mean, it's still below where they were, but so that big short selling, short seller worry, took them down like 40% from 37 pence down to pretty much 22 pence. And now they're back at 32 pence. So, you know, they're almost back towards where they were. That's good. You see the management, they were buying stock, weren't they? Quite a bit of stock. So they have faith there. Okay, Blue Jay, they've cancelled this is odd. They announced, in February, institutional equity subscription. Now, when I quickly looked at that, I didn't see that as a subscription. I saw it more as a convertible. And you often get this, companies, because no one likes convertibles, you know, because they are like converted to discount and they're downward pressure on the share price all the time. And so they try and sort of, you know, call them something else, something, you know, a lot more friendly sounding. But when you dig down, it looks like a convertible. But they've cancelled it, haven't they, this thing?
Yes, we're very, very, very pleased to see that they've cancelled this. Mm. It was with a group called Towards Net Zero. In fact, we don't believe that's their real name. Towards Net Zero is a Delaware registered company, and you can't see who is behind the companies that are registered in Delaware, not unless they want you to see that. So the whole thing was very odd from start to finish, and certainly didn't look like the sort of thing that we thought the company should be signing up to. And really pleased to see that Blue Jay have ditched that completely. And they're in discussions with a proper financing group to replace the funding. I mean, they had the cash to repay the $2 million that was advanced to them, so that's been repaid. And they're going to replace that cash from somewhere else, which definitely will not be a death spiral or convertible facility of any sort, I believe.
Yeah. So what was the reason they cancelled that? Did they say?
I think they realised how damaging it was going to be to their share price.
Yeah, okay.
And it's good. It's not always easy for management teams to stand up and go, oh, you know, we made a mistake with this. I think it's actually a mark of strength and courage to do this sort of thing, to say, okay, well, we got talked into it, but actually it wasn't a good idea and nobody likes it. So that's what they've done. And there's loads of good news to come out of Blue Jay. I mean, they've got the Dundas ilmenite project. That's titanium mineral sands up in the north of Greenland. It's a really good project. And titanium mineral sands prices continue to rise. They've also got this Kangalusak project. I think when they drill that, they're very, very likely to get good results when you look at other things in that area. Somebody called it Kang. Yes, you beat me to it, yes.
Oh, I thought we said that, kangaroo sack.
Kangaroo sack.
Okay.
I think you'll find a kangaroo sack is something else.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're not going to fit much, you know, much resource in a kangaroo sack. You know, very limited space there. A couple of joeys in there.
Okay. Well, and remember, they've got a joint venture agreement with Rio Tinto. They're busy drilling that in Finland. Mm-hmm. That's a bit more hit or miss. And they've also got a joint venture agreement with Cobalt Metals up on the Disco project, which is, I mean, I think Cobalt are probably going a bit slow because they're busy in other areas. But again, it's a highly prospective project. So there's loads of potential in Blue Jay, and I'm a shareholder. I'm still a shareholder in it. Not happy to see the share price go down, but hopeful that they will make, there'll be exploration success. And also, and I do think the Dundas ilmenite project will actually come through and produce value. I mean, it's difficult to run numbers on it at the moment because they're redoing an optimized definitive feasibility study at the moment. And so I don't know what the capex is, the capital cost is going to be, or the operating costs for the new project. But we know in the mining sector there was quite a lot of inflation, but a lot of that is coming off fast now, which is pleasing to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hopefully when it comes good, John, and you can celebrate by having a disco in a kangaroo sack. All right, let's look at the next stock. Is Empire Metals. What's happening there?
Yeah, Empire. It's a couple of things going on at Empire. Firstly, they've just finished drilling at their Pitfield project in Australia. Now, their theory is that this region of Australia has similarities to the Congo, and it's kind of a sedimentary basin where they are expecting quite high grades of copper and nickel and things like that, and there is evidence of high grade deposits in this region of Australia. Now, it's a big area when I say this region, but they've been drilling reverse circulation drilling, so the geologists won't have been able to easily see what's coming out of the ground, which is quite good. It means we're all on a more level playing field. So we're waiting to see what the results are. I mean, it's high risk. I did buy shares in Empire in the last placing, but I was happy to take the risk because I like the team. If you keep backing these teams, sooner or later, they will come through with success. We know that we've seen this with so many companies over the years. Sometimes it takes 5 years, sometimes it takes 10 years, but sooner or later, they hit a big one. Look at Solgold, for example. It took them a good 10 years and we finance Solgold every year, at least once a year, and eventually they got there, and Solgold went from being a next to nothing company, and now it's about 400 million and with a huge project that may or may not work one of these days.
I think it's testing investors' patience though when it gets to 10 years without success.
In this day and age, it's
more like 10 days and they'll give up. It's like, share price goes down, that's it, I'm out.
Well, we all hope for that to be a much shorter period. You never know. I mean, it may be that Empire find something useful in this drilling campaign, or it may be that they have to do another two drilling campaigns and then they find something useful. Either way, I think they'll get there sooner or later.
Yeah, the trouble is, I mean, you know, when you say 10 years, I mean, I've been to more funerals in the last few months than I've ever have, and I just think I may be dead in 10 years. That's the kind of thing you see. You think it's just happening a lot of people are dying. But anyway, let's move on. And the last one, which has been quite popular, is that at Rise. I don't know what's the share price has come back a bit. Let's have a look. It is COD, of course, CODAL. Oh no, it's had a great rise there, from 0.2 to 0.8. Wow, in the last since December, it's gone from 0.2 to 0.8. 4-5 bagger there. In fact, it peaked higher than that. So what's happening, John? COD.
Well, we know that Hainan Mining, which is a subsidiary of Fosun, and Fosun's a huge Chinese group, they struck a deal to put $100 million into a joint venture arrangement with CODAL on their Bagumi project in Mali. Very pleased to see that, actually. They're also putting another $17.5 million into CODAL, the company. Now, the project is going to cost $65 million to build. That's the current estimate. Then there'll be some more money. There'll probably be another $100 or $160 million to build the second stage of it. But we're not going to worry about that just yet. The main thing is getting this done. And I actually met with the Hainan representative this week. He was in London. He'd just done a due diligence trip to Mali with the company. So they've been running all over the project, checking everything out. They seem to be very happy with it. They're having to set up joint venture companies and bank accounts and things like that, or new bank accounts, in order to create the joint venture structure that is required for the deal. So because that's all taking a bit of time, they've had to extend what's called the long stop date on the deal to the end of May. I don't think investors should worry about this at all. I think it's just that's just life. It takes time to do administration. It takes time to double check the assets, et cetera, et cetera. But certainly the representative of Hainan seemed quite happy and quite confident.
Yeah. When you met him, did you say, Hey, Nan, my boyfriend's back?
Thankfully, his English is extremely good, so I was actually very relieved of that.
Okay. Well, he'd appreciate that, then, you sing that song. Hey, Nan. that's what I say to my grandmother. Hey, Nan. Okay. That's it. Thanks, John. Speak to you next week. Have a nice long weekend. Any plans for the long, weekend ahead of us? What is this? Is it just a May Day bank holiday? I've lost track of the holidays these days. Easter last time, now it's May Day. Then it's the King's coronation. It's non-stop. Is anyone doing any work? What are you doing? Any plans, John?
My only plan is to get back on the rowing machine and try and get fit again for the summer. It's been a long, long winter, and I can't wait for it to stop raining.
Do you know what? Yes, I got a treadmill. I've gone off the ball of exercise the last few months. I've had so much going on, and I've gone off the ball, and I've just lost appetite for it. I take the dog for a walk for about an hour a day, but I'm thinking, now you see the rowing machine. That's quite a good thing. My knees are starting. I can't run on the treadmill anymore. My knees are starting to hurt. Yeah, maybe a rowing machine's the way forward, John. Maybe that's it's not the way forward. It's the way backwards because you're facing backwards. But what I'm saying, it's a good thing to do, isn't it? It doesn't hurt your knees or anything like that, or.
The best advice I can give you and anyone else is make sure you warm up properly before you go anywhere near a rowing machine. They are dangerous things. If you've got to take it easy, and warm up a lot before you do it. It's as simple as that.
Have you? What do you mean? Have you ever hurt yourself? Then have you put an injury?
Personally, not. But that's because I'm always very careful with it.
I just see a picture of you in protective gear while you're on the rowing machine, like a helmet, goggles, gloves, everything. Careful, John. It's just a rowing machine. You're all right. Okay. Marvellous stuff. Unless you're on the back of a flatbed trailer when someone's driving it, how dangerous could it get?
Well, that's true. It should be a relatively safe form of exercise.
Yeah, you'd think
but so. You can actually do yourself a lot of damage if you go at these things too hard.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Marvellous stuff. Thanks for that, John. Speak you next week.
All right. Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.